This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 13 to 17. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Then down to verse 13. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is God's Word. Thank you. How many of you have ever heard of Aesop's Fables? Aesop's Fables, you've heard of them. Many of you probably learned them when you were a child. Aesop was supposedly, legend has it, that he was a slave who lived about 500 BC. And he would create these parables, these fables, stories of animals interacting with each other. And usually with each fable, there was a moral lesson. And we know a bunch of them. For example, the tortoise and the hare, when you have the rabbit that was overconfident and went on a race with the tortoise, and the rabbit ended up losing because he decided he was going to win. He's faster. He went off to the wayside and lounged about. Well, the tortoise just went slowly and surely. And the moral of the story is slowly and surely wins the race. And so Aesop's Fables have a bunch of these morals and parables. I'd like to share with you one of Aesop's fables that you may not have heard. We can call it the wolf and the sheep. So there was this wolf that would follow this particular flock of sheep, attempting to try to get one of the sheep for a nice meal. But unfortunately for the wolf, the shepherd was too good. And he would shoo the wolf away anytime the wolf came close to his precious flock. Well, one day the wolf was discouraged and figured he might as well give up. And as he started walking away from the flock, he noticed next to the path was a sheepskin. Undoubtedly, the shepherd, probably living off of the flock, had some mutton stew and ended up casting the sheepskin to the wayside. And the wolf looked at that sheepskin and got a bright idea. He said, "I know. I'll take this sheepskin and I'll put it over myself and pretend to be a sheep. And then I'll go into the midst of the flock and I'll convince some of those little lambs to follow me." So the wolf took that sheepskin and cloaked it over himself and slowly went into the flock. And he went into the flock unnoticed. He mingled with the sheep. And he approached this one particular lamb and said, "Hey, you, I've got some delicious sheep's milk for you. Why don't you come and follow me?" And the little lamb bounced around and said, sure, and started bouncing behind the sheep as the sheep led the lamb away. And when the lamb and the wolf were out of sight, the wolf got the lamb. And the wolf would go back and do the same thing and do it over and over and over again. And the wolf managed to get in that way. Now, the story doesn't end, but I'm going to put a dot, dot, dot for now. Because, did you know that in our walk as Christians, we are going to experience wolves in sheep's clothing? Jesus explicitly tells us this in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. He's teaching this Sermon on the Mount, and he says, beware of false prophets in verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Interesting. This parable seems to have been popular. And also, what we just read a little bit earlier was a warning from Paul, who said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That word deceiving means to lead astray, like a wolf would lead a lamb astray. Also, the Apostle John wrote of this type of, gave a similar warning when he was warning the church in 1 John chapter 2. He gives this warning. He says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. That word deceive can be to lead astray. So the scriptures are abundant with these warnings. There will be wolves in sheep's clothing, trying to deceive you and lead you astray. Now, often is the case with me, and I don't know how to handle this at this point, when I dig into one particular message, it ends up in my mind growing, and I think, oh, it'd be this wonderful sermon series. And we'll have a sermon series on sheep and lambs and lions and wool and all these different animals that come up and what they mean for us and all that. But for this morning, we'll just focus on what the Lord has laid in my heart. I'd like to share with you four wolves that are given to us in the scriptures, and we can expose them. The scriptures are full of these kinds of wolves in sheep clothing teachings and individuals. But the Lord has laid on my heart four of them that I'd like to share with you. It comes in the form of this phrase. There's this phrase in the New Testament that says, do not be deceived. That's the title of this message. And in the original word for deceived means to lead astray. Do not be led astray like a wolf in sheep's clothing. The first of this phrase comes to us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me ask you a question. Is sin a big deal? Is sin a big deal? It should be. Well, there was this wolf or wolves who had come into the Corinthian church and started leading these precious lambs of the Lord's flock away into thinking that sin was not a big deal. And Paul has spent abundant time in the book of 1 Corinthians trying to fix this mess. There were Corinthians who were suing each other. I mean, that was a terrible witness to the unbelieving community. There were Corinthian folks who were in immoral sexual relationships. There were Corinthian folks who were mishandling the Lord's Supper, who were teaching that the resurrection would never happen. All this stuff Paul is trying to deal with. And he gives them this warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I'll just read it to you, and then we'll go back and look at what that wolf is. It says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There it is. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. The verse continues, but in a moment. He says, do not be deceived. There's a wolf trying to lead you astray. Sin is serious. And if we don't take it seriously, we will be deceived. We will be led astray. Now, what Paul is saying, what Paul is not saying, he's not saying that if you sin, you're not inheriting the kingdom of God. Because look as he continues in verse 11. In verse 11 he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may stumble, you may fall, but you're saved, you're sanctified, you're justified. God is going to finish the work that he started. But what that also does not mean, that does not mean that because somebody is saved, they can just do whatever they want. And that's why Paul is saying, listen, if somebody's life is marked by habitual, flagrant, open sin, it may be the case that they have not repented and trusted in Christ for salvation, and that they are in danger of not inheriting the kingdom of God. And what happens is, the wolf comes in and starts to say, sin is not really that big of a deal. And what that does is it causes those who are ignorant of the Word of God and these things, and also whose consciences have not been grounded, to think, oh, okay, it's not that big of a deal if I'm in an adulterous relationship, or if I'm engaged in habitual pornography, or if I'm stealing, or if I'm giving myself to substances. Paul is warning, don't go down that path. Over time, we've seen in our culture this lessening of the seriousness of sin. You read some of the old preachers in the olden days, and they were not afraid to preach against sin. And in our day, the Christian church in America is afraid to preach against sin because people don't like to hear it. It doesn't really sit well with people. But let me share this with you. If we lessen the seriousness of sin, we are lessening the glory of the work of Jesus on the cross. Because the whole reason why Jesus came to the cross was to deal with sin. Because it was big enough of a deal for God to come to this world incarnate, die a death he didn't deserve as an innocent man, take upon himself the sins of the whole world. And if we say sin's not that big of a deal, it's like saying what Jesus did was not that big of a deal. But what Jesus did is infinitely important and valuable. Don't listen to that wolf. Look at your own life. Look at my own life. How do we handle when we're tempted with sin? If we take it seriously, we're open to the Holy Spirit's leading to have us overcome. And look at that wolf in the face and say, no, thank you. How could I do such a thing and sin against God? Don't be deceived. Sin is serious. The second wolf that comes in this phrase, do not be deceived, is in the same book. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll notice, too, that there's quite a bit of overlap between these warnings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Mind you, in these passages, Paul is trying to correct false doctrine. Some had crept into the church to teach that there was no resurrection. The Greeks thought of a bodily resurrection as disgusting. The Greeks thought of the material world as tainted and disgusting. Why would there be some sort of physical resurrection? I thought we were going to have some, you know, spiritual, platonic, wonderful time. And Paul's saying, no. If the dead are not raised, Jesus is not raised. And then he gives them this warning in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. Don't follow that wolf. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me ask you a question. The time that you spend with other people, or the information that you surround yourself with, is that going to potentially affect how you act and how you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. The time that you spend with other people, the character of the people that you spend the most time with, or the nature of the information that you surround yourself with is going to affect how you think and how you act. And what Paul is warning us is that there's a wolf in the midst of the church, giving them this idea that it doesn't matter what you think or who you spend time with. And Paul's saying, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I love butternut squash. We grew a bunch of butternut squash this past season, and the good thing about it is that it lasts downstairs if you have it in a cool place. When we harvested some butternut squash, I was a little overzealous, and I took some of the squash that didn't do too well and brought them with me. I wanted to make sure we had those too. And so there were some squash that were sitting there on the shelf that were a little bit rotten, not doing too healthy. But I didn't really notice or pay attention. Well, what happened was over time that the rotten squash, the rot started to transfer over to the good squash. And there was this chain reaction happening. And when we discovered it, we decided, okay, we got to get rid of these rotten squash. So we took the rotten squash off the shelf and put them in a box together. And I would, on my to-do list, I planned on taking them and casting them into the garden for compost. When you leave here this morning, you can go over there and see and say, he cast you out as a... No. But here's the thing. These rotten squash were together in a box. Something fascinating happened. As they were together in that box, their decay process amplified. And they rotted in a very faster pace. I mean, it was just amazing how they were slowly rotting. And I was talking to Alicia about this, and we thought, there's something there to learn from. And isn't it true? You see, two things were going on. One, the bad squash were affecting the good squash. But in the other place, the good squash were preserving the bad squash. And when the bad squash got together, it started to amplify. This is the case with us. If we fill our minds with garbage, whether it be from the television or the internet, or whether it be from our cell phones, or whether it be from conversations we have, we need to be careful how that can affect us. If we are around people who are trying to teach false things in the church, we got to watch out, because that will corrupt what's going on. I'll give an example. Many years ago, these highfalutin professors decided to get the bright idea in their mind that the Word of God was not authoritative nor inspired. And so they started teaching that the Word of God, you know, it was a good book, a moral book, an inspiring book, but it was not inspired by God. And these seminaries started creating these pastors and leaders, church leaders, and they got these bright ideas that the Word of God was not the authoritative Word of God, but was just a kind of religious system that is beneficial for the good of society and the goodness of mankind. And so they sent these pastors and church leaders out into the nation, and they started taking these churches around, and over time, The teachings were coming from the pulpit. And over time, the people started hearing these things. And what we see today is that there has been a decay in the church, in our nation. And we've got churches today. If you go to any city or any town, it's probably the fact that 2/3 of the churches in that town has been affected by this decay. And things that the scriptures say are outright immoral, ungodly, lifestyles, habits, or choices are being promoted, are being heralded, in fact, are being advertised as the reason why you should go to the church. Watch out. Don't be deceived. There was a wolf in the midst of the church. Evil company corrupts good character. Are we grounded in the scriptures? Are we grounded in what the Word of God teaches us so that when we know what a real sheep looks like, when one that smells like a wolf and sounds like a wolf comes along our way, we can be able to recognize it? Do not be deceived. The third instance which this phrase is used, the third wolf that I'd like to expose here this morning, is found in Galatians chapter 6. Again by Paul. In Galatians chapter 6, he's teaching the people about walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh, the fruits of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, how the flesh lusts against the Spirit, how the Spirit against the flesh. And he gives them this warning in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. There's a wolf. What was he saying? He was saying, your actions don't have consequences. Your actions don't have consequences. God is a gracious God. And what that caused, this mentality, for the Galatian church to sow seeds of corruption, and he's warning them, beware lest you reap of that. Our actions do have consequences. I remember when I was a little boy that I had an uncle who had a good sense of humor. And, you know, he was my uncle and I looked up to him, but he had this sense of humor once in a while. And he had a mouse trap one day he was setting in the house to catch a mouse of some sort. And he was setting it, and I was sitting there with my cousin. And he had the mousetrap in his hand, and he looked at me and he said, "Put your finger on the mousetrap." And I was so young, I didn't know what was going on. And so I just looked at him, and I took my finger, I put it on the mousetrap, and snap, on my finger. And I went, "Ow." And he actually was shocked. He didn't think I would do it. But listen, our actions have consequences. If there's a hot stove and your parents says, "Don't touch it, you'll get burned," and you touch it, you're going to get burned. And God is teaching us, when it comes to our walk with Him, we've been given the Holy Spirit of God in order to live a life pleasing to Him. We have power over the flesh, over temptation, over the evil one. So when that moment of temptation comes, remember that actions have consequences. Don't be deceived. Don't follow that wolf. God wants you to have an abundant, fruit-filled life in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Satan wants you to be walking according to the flesh, thinking according to the flesh, so that your life is fruitless when it comes to spirituality. And that leads us to our fourth and final wolf. And this is in the book of James. And I'd like for you to bear with me for a moment. The first of these woes have been pretty severe for us as Christians, because we all struggle with the flesh. We're trying to walk with the Lord and we stumble and fall. These are real warnings. We don't want to water them down. But this is the wolf that I think has really ravaged the church today. You see, the first three wolves, Satan is basically sending them in the flock to get the church to love disobedience and sin, if you notice. This wolf is a different attempt. In James chapter 1, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be led astray. Don't follow that wolf. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Before I expose that wolf, what's going on here? Some had believed that God didn't have their best interest in mind, so that when they were tempted and struggling with sin, they actually thought God was doing that to them. In essence, that God was out to get them. And I want you to listen. This wolf is Satan's attempt to get you. Whereas the first three wolves were to get you to love sin, not worry about consequences or don't worry about what the Word of God says or anything like that. This wolf is an attempt to get you to hate God. This wolf is an attempt to get you to think that God doesn't have your best interests in mind. That the life God wants you to live is not the best life for you. And that when God says, avoid these sins, He's keeping something from you. He's keeping some happiness He wants you to have. He's keeping some joy He wants you to partake in. He's keeping some fulfillment that you feel like you're missing, and you're just struggling in this life and you're trying to find it, and you are going into these relationships and habits and lifestyles because you're trying to find that fulfillment, and you read the scriptures and you know God says no, but you bring some sense of satisfaction, and Satan brings that wolf and whispers in your ear. That's because God doesn't want you to be fulfilled, happy, have joy. And this verse is telling us every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God has everything good for you. In fact, you cannot imagine a situation in your life better than the one God wants for you. God has in His mind the perfect possible situation given your circumstances. And He is leading you in that direction. And when you and I stumble and don't follow the path He leads for us, He is creating a new perfect path for us to walk on. And when He asks us to say no to something, it is because He wants us to say yes to something better, something more fulfilling, something more joy-giving, something more peace-bringing, something more satisfying. The will of God, the life of God. He is a Father who loves His children and wants to give His children every possible thing. Have you ever been tempted to think, man, this life God wants me to live, it doesn't really seem that satisfying. It's kind of a killjoy. I've only got this one life. I mean, maybe I should do this one thing. Just it'll bring me a temporary sense of, you know, whew, just a boost. But don't you know afterwards, you realize that wolf just nipped me. God is your shepherd, and He leads His sheep to streams of living water, to green pastures to lie down in, but sometimes it's through the valley. But He leads His dear children along. I remember Ray Comfort gave this one illustration that stuck with me about how people tend to think of God. There was this woman who was traveling down the road in a very late evening. It was very dark. And she pulled up to this crossroads for a train. And as she went over the tracks of the train, excuse me, I'm giving the plot twist away. So she breaks down and it's midnight and you don't know there's anything going on. She breaks down and she texts her friend to maybe they can come and pick her up. All of a sudden, there's this knock on the window. And she turns and there's this big, burly man who's staring in her window. And he's yelling something in a foreign language and she can't understand it. And so she locks the door and she's afraid. And he's knocking on the window and knocking on the window. And she's afraid for her life. Just then, he walks away and there's silence. She calms down a little bit. But then he returns and she sees him in the window and he's there with a rock in his hand and he smashes the window in. And he reaches in and he grabs her and he undoes the seatbelt and pulls her out of the car. And just as he pulls her out of the car, a train comes barreling down the road, the tracks, and runs over the vehicle. He was out to save her. She thought he was out to get her. And sometimes I think we think of God in that way. We think that God is out to get us. We think that God is out to keep us from something that we want. But ultimately, God has our best interests in mind, and He's out to save us. Don't be deceived. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Don't be deceived. You will reap what you sow. Don't be deceived. Evil company does corrupt good habits. Don't be deceived. Sin is serious. The wolf managed to get a good number of lambs and became very, very full. Started to get fat. He was doing a good job. Then one day the shepherd got hungry. And the shepherd was going throughout his flock and he was looking around and he noticed this one sheep. It looked rather big. And he was having some friends over and he thought he could make some mutton soup. So he went up to that big old sheep and he took his knife and he slayed the sheep. Only to realize it was a wolf. Brothers and sisters, one day our shepherd is going to come and slay all wolves. But in the meantime, let us, according to the Word of God and the discernment of the Spirit, uncover them as they come, so that we're not led astray and deceived. Amen? Father in heaven, I pray if there is someone here this morning who has not been following the Good Shepherd and is not of the flock, somebody here this morning needs Jesus. I pray, Father God, you'd speak to their hearts. Jesus came and died for their sins. That if they trust in Jesus and the work that He did, they will have everlasting life. For Jesus said, I lay my life down for my sheep. Father in heaven, I pray that they would come to your fold. They would repent of their sin, turn to you in faith, trust in you for salvation, not according to their good works, but according to your grace, and join your flock. I pray for your flock here this morning. Make us aware of the wolves that come our way. Protect this place from deception in all forms. There's so many different ways. Help us to encourage one another to be aware of that deception. And help us to be grounded in your word, to know when we see, smell, and hear a wolf. For the glory of your flock and your shepherd, love and care for us, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.